welcome to the Scriptures Are Real podcast. And this is one of our special Holy Week episodes where we're trying to make sure we focus on the Savior and His atoning sacrifice and His resurrection. And it's an effort to help members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and really anyone who is interested to more fully understand and appreciate the Holy Week and to understand different. This year, we're looking at different perspectives and different faith traditions as we focus on the Savior and the things He did for us. I am so happy to have with us a guest that is an old friend. I think we met in 2011, so that's a while ago now. We have with us Sahar Kumseya. Welcome, Sahar.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'll tell everyone just a little bit about you, and then you can tell them more about yourself. But Sahar is from Bethlehem. Grew up as a Christian there, a Palestinian Christian, and eventually joined the church. And when I first met her, she was the Relief Society president in the Jerusalem branch that I was a member of. And that's how we got to know each other. I believe you were working for the UN at the time.
Yes.
And now teaches at BYU Idaho and lives in Idaho. But for many, many, many years, was a central and cohesive figure in the Jerusalem branch. But what else would you like to tell us about you, Sahar?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it. I'm the only member of the church in my family. I joined the church when I went to BYU to do a master's degree back in 1996. It's been a while now, but I've been here in Idaho 10 years. But yeah, before that, I lived in Palestine, and I live near Bethlehem. I live in a town called Beit Sahor, which is the place where one of the fields is where they think the shepherds were, so they call it the Shepherd's Field. And I grew up in these hills. When I was a kid, we always just ran on these hills and found caves to explore. It was great.
Wow. A beautiful area. So
yeah,
wonderful. One of my favorite places on earth, actually. So it's a blessing to know you. Well, so Sahar is a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but grew up what you might call Orthodox Christian. There are lots of different names applied, and celebrated Holy Week your whole life, right? So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what Holy Week meant for you and your family, and in particular, maybe Good Friday. So,
okay, yeah. So my family, for us, actually, back in Palestine, the celebration of Easter was way more than the celebration of Christmas. In Christmas, we only got together with family during the morning, and that was it. That was the extent of our Christmas celebration. But for Easter, we had a whole week of events that happened. So the church would have services for multiple days. On Thursday, it was like the crucifixion, and they would actually like put up a cross and celebrate, you know, the fact that Christ died for us. And then on Friday, it was a sad day, actually. So it was, everybody was just really sad. And on Saturday was a big day of celebration there. So people there believe, and I still haven't been able to confirm if this is true. I actually had a friend of mine spent the night in the church to see if he could figure out if this story was true. But Palestinians claim that there's a light that appears in the tomb in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre on Saturday. And every Saturday they go at the crack of dawn, and it's really dark in the church. And then this priest goes in the tomb, and they have actually police that search the priest to make sure that he doesn't have any matches or anything. And he goes in the tomb and comes back with this light that they call the holy light. And it's supposed to be a light that doesn't burn you. So if you put your hand on it, it doesn't burn. But then the priest kind of brings the light from Jerusalem to different towns. So they would come to Bethlehem, and we had like a parade and people would just wait and meet for that, to waiting for that light to come. And then they would light their candles from the light. And then Easter, on Easter, we have also like really early in the morning, we had church services. And then we would get together with family. And over there, we never say Happy Easter. We always say El Masih Qam, which means Christ is risen. And then the person responding to that would say Haqqan Qam, which means indeed he has. So we would just get together with family and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for me, I don't know, growing up, I didn't quite understand. I mean, I went to those celebrations, but I didn't quite internalize or understand the significance of Easter, as they said, okay, Christ died for me. And I'm like, well, why does that, why do I care? I just couldn't understand. There wasn't, nobody explained it to me. Nobody explained the atonement to me, how it applies to my life. So for me, it's like, okay, great. So Christ died and then he was resurrected. So how does it connect to my life? I didn't internalize it. I didn't connect it. And when I joined the church and actually learned Heavenly Father's plan, I came to understand how the atonement applies. And actually, I applied the atonement because I repented of my sins and I received forgiveness. And that to me was life changing. I went from someone who was very depressed to someone who had joy and happiness in life. And it was because I received that forgiveness for my sins. And that completely changed me, changed my heart. It changed my nature in a way. And the other thing that I came to realize because of Easter is life after death. And a lot of people back home, even though they're Christian and they're supposed to believe in life after death, a lot of them don't. They claim to, but then when somebody dies, they're so sad because they say, well, I'm not going to see them again. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, did you read the Bible? Do you understand? So when my father died, my family was devastated, and he spent months being sick and in pain because of cancer, and he suffered a lot. And at the end of his life, he lost the ability to talk and move, and it was just really hard for him. He did not want to stay on earth. Like, he was done because he was in so much pain and couldn't do anything for himself. And my father has always been the capable person in the family, and for him to be incapable of doing things, it was just really hard, devastating for him. And when he died, my family actually didn't really tell me he died, because I was living 4 hours north teaching at a university there, and they told me to come home because I knew he was dying. So they told me to come home. And then I got home and there's all these, and back home death is different. They kind of gather the women right next to the deceased person, and then they just sit and wail and cry. And so I got in there and there's all these women, you know, my relatives and my mom and my sisters, and everybody was dressed in black and everybody was crying. And I sat there and I could not cry. I was actually happy that my father was in a much better place, and I could not cry. And they kept trying to like sing songs to make me cry. And my brother then took me aside and he's like, what's wrong with you? Are you not sad that my father died? Like, are you, why won't you cry? And I basically said, I'm happy that he's in a better place. I know I'll see him again. And I think that's something to me makes Easter very special, because my parents have passed away, and it's a hope to me to be able to see them once again because of what Jesus Christ did for us.
That's beautiful and wonderful. I had not thought of this until you said that. This Easter will be the first Easter for me since both of my parents have passed away, and you've given me another reason to look forward to this Easter. So thank you.
Yeah, welcome. So I kind of maybe wanted to share an experience that I had in Jerusalem one day, and for me that that link that Christ created for us, the ability to be united and return back to live with Him and Heavenly Father because of His atonement and His resurrection, that death is not the end. If He didn't die and wasn't resurrected, death would be the end, and we would never have hope of being together with Him and with our families for eternity. And I think to me that's a powerful link, and it keeps me going. And this, you know, helps me know that this life is not it. And if this life is hard, it's meant to be hard, because if it wasn't hard, we wouldn't be able to become like them, like Heavenly parents and Jesus Christ, and return to live with them. So I had an experience one day where, and for 12 years of my life, I spent trying to sneak into Jerusalem to be able to go to church services in the Jerusalem Center. And year after year, I would, you know, get shot at and have to climb hills and walls and to be able to get to church. But one day, and this was just a few years ago, I went to church, and actually it was a really good day because they let me through the checkpoint for some reason. And I got to Jerusalem kind of early, and I had some time, and I decided to go to the Garden Tomb. And I love the Garden Tomb. It's to me, it feels like the place where Christ was buried in that tomb. And as I was, and I actually, for some reason that day, I was feeling a sense of loneliness and that I didn't belong, because as I walked, because I had some time, as I walked through Jerusalem, I felt that I did not belong there. I mean, I was born in Jerusalem, and I love the city. It's like my home city in a way, because I was born there. I just have a connection to it. But that day, I kept noticing Israeli flags instead of Palestinian flags, and I kept noticing Jews instead of Arabs. And for some reason, I just felt out of place. I felt that Jerusalem has become kind of a Jewish community in a way, and I felt that I was out of place as an Arab for some reason that day. And I don't always feel that way, but for some reason that day, I was just sad. I felt I was different, and I also felt I was different from my family as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And yeah. I don't know, that day I was just especially sad. And so that's why I decided, well, I'm going to go to the Garden Tomb and just kind of feel the Spirit and feel peace. And the Garden Tomb is right next to kind of a hill that has a skull shape on it, which is what people think is Golgotha, is the place where Christ was crucified. But that day, as I was walking towards the tomb where he was, you know, and the place where he was crucified and buried later, it was almost so real that I felt I was there that day, 2000 years ago, when he just carried his cross and walked probably that same street, same area towards the place where he would be crucified. And it was so real that I almost could hear the people just mocking him and yelling at him and saying bad things about him. And he just walked there silently and quietly and carried the cross. And at that moment, I kind of realized he didn't belong. He didn't belong in this earth. He was different. he didn't belong to Jerusalem, even though, you know, Jerusalem was dear to him. He still was different. He did things differently. You know, he said to people, it has been said, do this, but I tell you, do that. And so he just did things different than people were expecting. And so they cast him out. They just didn't accept his teaching. And I realized that it's okay to not belong to this world. It's okay to be different. It's okay to stand out, because he didn't either. But then at that moment, I almost heard words in my ear that said, you belong to me. And to me, that made a huge difference, because at that moment, I realized that I belong to my Savior. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's okay to be different. It's okay to like not belong, because I belong to him and I was his. And that was very special to me. So I thought I'd share that.
That is as powerful. And that's the kind of thing I hope is happens in one way or another. I mean, maybe not exactly that thing, but something along those lines as we celebrate what the Savior's done for us this week. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That's the meaningful thing. You know, we can put and I'll put on like our Patreon website, so you can go to tsar.website if you want to join our Patreon website, anyone who wants to do that. And I'll put on like scriptures to read, and I think we should read those scriptures, and different things people do on each day of the week, Good Friday or whatever. But it's hearing from people like you moments when recognizing Christ and what he did for us and who he is that made a difference for them. That's what makes worshiping on Holy Week and on Easter together meaningful, as we hear each other's stories of multiple times of coming to Christ, but this is a time in a way that Christ came to you and that helps you come to Christ, right? So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So grateful. Anything else you'd like to share? Or?
I guess just to me, because I, like I said, I grew up in the town of the shepherds, and sometimes people think, well, why did Christ, why were the shepherds one of the first people to know of the birth of the Savior? And to me, first of all, my town spreads rumors really fast. So he knew where to come. My ancestors were those shepherds that could spread the word. But the other reason I feel is those shepherds knew their sheep. They were choosing those sheep that were, or those lambs that were ready to be sacrificed in the temple. And they knew the criteria, and they kind of, it was part of their job to choose the sacrificial lamb. And because it was their job, I think a lot of people believed them when they testified that Christ would be the sacrificial lamb to die for all mankind. And I don't know, the atonement is amazing for me, because I feel that Christ is a God who was willing to come and be born as a helpless baby and was willing to live his life and serve, and then he was willing to die. The amazing thing to me about the suffering that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane is, here he is, he felt all the pain and the sins of the world. He knew what we could do, what human beings are capable of doing, like all the murders, all the bad things that these people have done. He felt it. He took it upon himself. But the amazing part of the atonement is he got up from his knees and he went and died for those people, those sinners. I mean, us. He loved us that much that even though he knew how bad we are, he still said, no, I'll do it. I will go and die for these people because I have hope in them and they're mine, and I want to save them. And I think that's remarkable to me.
To me as well. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. We're so grateful, and we hope that our audience both comes to appreciate Passion Week or Holy Week better, but also that you draw closer to Christ through what we're talking about here, and that then you'll go and share that with someone. So we hope you'll subscribe and like and download and so on. But we also hope you'll go and find someone in person that you can talk to about the feelings you felt, and together you can be edified. We've all been blessed and edified by listening to Sahar. So thank you, Sahar, and happy Easter. And I guess besides happy Easter, what is it I say? He is risen.
Masih qam.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't, my Arabic is shwai shwai, but Masih qam.
Uh-huh.
All right. He is risen. Thank you. Shukran.